Where do some of the monuments that have been removed in Wilmington, the Cesar Rodney statue and the Christopher Columbus statue, where do those stand right now?
It's my understanding that they are still within the holdings of the city, and the city has kept saying that there are plans for a public forum about what to do with the Cesar Rodney statue and the Christopher Columbus statue, but that is the extent of the details that have been made public.
So, why is there such an intense debate around what to do with monuments in this country? Why does it tend to stir up passions? We saw Lauren Witzke and some supporters holding a protest over the summer over these two statues that were removed in Wilmington, urging them to be restored. Why do you think, it becomes so controversial?
Well, statues are not history. Monuments are not history. They express community values at a certain point in time. And community values change with time. And the more we understand history, we see an evolving sense of history and we rewrite it. That's our duty. That's why history is a form of literature. And we rewrite it, hopefully, together. But the monuments are part of the memory infrastructure. Museums, markers, and monuments create a kind of memory infrastructure, and often the memory infrastructure doesn't evolve as populations change, as socioeconomic conditions change, as the nation's understanding of the past change. So when the memory infrastructure, the monuments, the markers, and the museums are no longer representative of the population in which people see those monuments, a kind of cynicism develops, and the monuments represent out of touch impositions of community values that are no longer representative of the time.
Do we know what the circumstances around some of these statues in Delaware, like the two in Wilmington, when they were put up and why they were put up?
Yes, most monuments are put up. The kinds of monuments that have sparked controversy and what Preservation Delaware is calling monument wars were put up as symbols of white power in periods in the 1890s, 19 teens, and 20s when there were intense debates about immigration and who had the right to vote and who could be a citizen. So they are meant to kind of be an in-your-face statement of power. That's why monuments are more than just a history book. They're actually an imposition of one perspective on the past. I will just say that most Christopher Columbus statues were put up as Italian Americans became more prominent voting blocs and wanted more representation in the body politic represented by the markers, monuments, and museums that make up the memory infrastructure. Similarly, you'll see Irish American statues to Revolutionary War heroes like Commodore Barry at Independence Hall in the 19 teens. And often those statues are granted when a public official wants to court that particular voting block. With Cesar Rodney, the effort to construct a statue went hand in hand with the effort to construct Rodney Square. And Rodney Square was created and crafted beginning in 1915 and ultimately christened in 1923. And the Delaware Historical Society was in charge of commissioning the artist James Kelly to be the sculptor of a statue for Cesar Rodney. So it went hand in hand with the idea of glorifying Rodney Square with ideals in the 1920s, it was the DuPonts and John Jacob Raskob who designed Rodney Square. And like many of the statues installed in the 1920s, they were installing an idealized version of the colonial past with the idea that the past has more authority to the present because the present is seeing so much change. There are people coming north from the South because of the Great Migration. There are more and more immigrants coming into the country from all over the world and not simply places like Europe and white Caucasian immigrants to the United States. It's no surprise that the kinds of people like the DuPonts or the Rockefellers or Henry Ford, who were installing monuments or creating museums like Colonial Williamsburg or Greenfield or Winterthur, we're idealizing the past and the colonial values when an idealized version of craft and beauty and colonial values were to be prioritized. And many of those same people, like the creators of Rodney Square, were at the same time Ford, Rockefeller, and the DuPonts promoting race-based ethnic quotas in American immigration law that culminated in the 1924 National Origins Act, which was only undone in the mid-1960s. So these two things go hand in hand: imposition of power, glorification of the past. And that's right about where the Caesar Rodney discussions, to put him in a glorified equestrian statue mode between 1915 and 1924, fits the pattern of when similar monuments, museums, and markers were installed to represent a glorified past amid a changing demographic and changing population of the cities of the North.
Are there other monuments in Delaware that haven't gotten as much attention as the two in Wilmington that you think deserve a second look?
I think just about every building and historic marker deserves some look. Caesar Rodney's plantation Byfield, which is on the eastern end of the Dover Air Force Base, the Byfield Plantations marker installed in 2005 makes reference to none of the enslaved workers, and there were as many as 200 enslaved workers on that plantation property. The John Dickinson Plantation, which is known as a plantation, is undergoing a thoughtful consideration of what they should call the site, because much like the whipping post in public is a trigger, so is the name plantation. So there are many. There are far too many, too numerous for me to just cherry pick. But the markers that don't represent actual events of the past and simply gloss over, sugarcoat, or glorify, that'd be a good start, re-examining some of those markers. More recently, markers, let's say, at the Whitehall Plantation near Bombay Hook in Leipzig in 2017 specifically enumerates the numbers of enslaved on the Whitehall Plantation and names some of them. So there's a way to contextualize and to humanize through the memory infrastructure. The memory infrastructure can evolve, and it's where public historians have a responsibility to push the boundaries to make the monuments, the markers, and the museums more accurately representative of our evolving sense of history. So, for instance, if the Rodney statue were to come back, I would suggest perhaps we enumerate the kinds of people who had helped Rodney onto his horse, like Shadrach or Peg or Jude or Charles, or specifically lay out the names of the people as enumerated in Caesar Rodney's will, like Beth or Kate, who was to be freed 5 years after his death because she was still a breeding woman and worth 10 pounds. In other words, the kinds of things that people don't understand about Delaware history, these discussions offer us an opportunity to say, you know, Rodney specifically laid out the values of his individual and enslaved Africans, the workers on his property, because enslavers like Benjamin Chew and John Dickinson and Caesar Rodney and his brother Thomas amortized, loaned out, collected interest, and depreciated human beings as assets on their balance sheets and in their wills. And the value of 4 million enslaved in 1860 in the United States was $3,000,000,1860, greater than all the combined assets of the United States except the land. Well, if more people knew that, or knew that when Delaware calls itself the first state, it's only about the first 10 amendments, not about the 13th, 14th, and 15th amendments, which Delaware didn't ratify until 1901. So bringing more of that history to life and to light allows us to engage the public in discussions with more open eyes. I hadn't known that is often a response. Gee, how come this isn't taught in the textbooks? How come this isn't, how come I didn't know this about Delaware? That's our opportunity, because the more people know about the facts of the past, the more they may be able to see that these are not just exercises in political correctness. They are a responsible address of whether or not the monuments imposed on us 100 years ago adequately represent the population as it stands right now.
David Young, Director of the Delaware Historical Society, thank you so much.
You're welcome.